Welcome to Is That Us podcast, a podcast where we talk about Latina representation in film and television and why it matters. Today, we're going to be talking about the maid, the stereotype that is very prevalent in media across film, television. You see that this stereotype the most, I would say. And we're going to be talking about gender roles associated with that role and power dynamics. Today, there are two amazing friends joining me, Kareli Ordaz-Salto and Mayra Chavez. I'm very lucky to call these two my amigas. We always have such good conversations that this podcast really was sparked by the idea of, I need to put a microphone in front of these people when we talk to them, because our conversations are that good. So I hope, you know, you join us as we explore the historical and cultural roots of this stereotype and discuss how it perpetuates very harmful gender and power dynamics, not just for ourselves, but for how other people treat us. So sit back, relax, and let's get started. So amigas, what character comes to mind when you think of this archetype?
Well, I think of novelas, you know,
novelas.
In Telemundo, Univision, you always had a rich family that they were always light-skinned and thin, usually European descent, green eyes, blonde hair. There was at least one member in that family that had green eyes and blonde hair. And then you had the maid of the house, and that person more often than not was darker in complexion, indigenous, and older. Mm-hmm. And that person never really played a real leading role in the narrative. They were more of a background person that supported the main characters, and they were not them. And I think I often saw the similarities of, you know, that person will live in the household. That person may or may not have a family. That was never part of the narrative. Sometimes when they did have a kid, like, there was always a challenge, and they had to, you know, protect. It was just the narrative of them and their families was not top of mind. So, yeah, that was the person that when I think of the maid, that's the person that I see, an older woman, darker complexion, indigenous.
The media for our own community,
yes,
perpetuating this archetype.
Yeah. And that goes back to colonization, right? I mean, going back to the Spanish, while they allowed the interracial of engagements.
I wouldn't say they allowed.
Well, when I say they allowed, I'm comparing it to Anglo.
Yes.
The European settlers, they would not mix. It was looked down upon. They would not engage or marry or have kids. And then they would, but they wouldn't acknowledge it. From what I read in the Spanish, they had mestizos. So while it wasn't seen as something that they were really proud of, it wasn't like looked down upon as it was to the Anglo community. So there was more interracial.
Yeah.
Las castas.
I mean, I want to go back to the maid, but I did want to make a point about what you just mentioned, because yes, and also I think the mixing of indigenous and Spanish colonizers is also part of, like, I think the word in Spanish is like blanqueando, right? So it's like removing that indigenous blood that you have and making yourself white, right? And we see that even to this day with, like, our sayings, right? It's like, you're supposed to marry someone that's light skin. You're supposed to, like, mejorar la raza, right? And that means, you know, you're supposed to marry someone that's lighter than you so that you don't have brown indigenous looking babies, right? And it's that kind of thing. It's like, you're supposed to, and it continues to this day. So I think, although it was permitted, there was like a switch, or maybe, and I mean the Spanish were not that smart, so I'm like, I know that this was not just the it was more of like, oh, there's an opportunity now that people are mixing that to maybe, you know, put this into, like, ingrained into people's brains, like, you're supposed to become whiter as right. as generation goes, so that you can remove yourself from that indigenous blood. And I'm like, there's a reason why so many of us cannot trace our indigenous right. roots, right? We can maybe trace them to like the Spanish or other right. colonizing countries, but like it's so hard to even know because no one wants to even talk about it, right? No one wants to engage in the fact that you are indigenous or you have indigenous blood. So I just wanted to make that point. But also about the maid, I also think about some of the movies, right? J-Lo has played a maid. Eva Longoria has played a maid. Like, and I also think of the women in our society, right? Like, for many years, women were not allowed to work, right? Even here in American society, just in general society. And they had to be the home takers, right? They took care of, like, the whole household. And that's a job itself. And then as women are also now in the work field, then you have what you hire as maids or someone that can help you in your home, right? And then I think of our moms, right? Like mm-hmm. here they come to this country, they still have to work and be right. the households and like who takes care of their kids and the house and everything plus a job. So I also think of like our moms mm-hmm. in that sense.
I think this is so powerful, and I feel like this is the one archetype that, I mean, they're all triggering for me, but this one in particular, because there's so much history behind it, right? And I think, you know, when you were both were talking about Las Castas, like even that comment, like Mejor La Raza, there's a reason, because mm-hmm. depending on the caste that you were, it was literally the rights that you had. When, you know, when the Spanish government controlled most of Latin America, it was a control system and a powerful one, because we are still dictating the way we live by some of it, you know, whether we know it or not. And, you know, the reason why it's very personal to me, you know, my mom cleans houses. Mm-hmm. Like when we moved to the United States, that was the one job that she could get with, you know, speaking no English, and at the time we were undocumented, so it was the one job that she had access to. And at some point it was also the job that I had access to. Mm. So I would also help her clean not just houses, but cleaning schools was something that, you know, allowed us to make some income. And, you know, the dynamic was very interesting because, you know, acknowledging I'm very light-skinned. And my mom is even lighter than me. So when we would show up, it was like kind of like that question mark of like, wait, are you the people that are here to clean? And then when we're like, you know, with the brooms and the trapos and the fabuloso and everything we needed to clean, like it would totally, like I could see it in people's faces. Like it was really messing up with their psyche. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it goes back to like, who do we think should play this role, right? And going back to, you know, sadly, I think this is not just a Latino thing. This is just our society is very anti-indigenous. And that plays off with the access of opportunities and policies that we've created. But also the undervaluing the job of mm-hmm. someone that is coming to clean your home. Someone that you have to have some level of trust to right. to open your house to somebody. And let's be real, this person is allowing you to fulfill your everyday duties and still come home to a comfortable space. Mm-hmm. And nobody talks about, like, what does the work of the maid permit you to do? Mm. And, like, what would you do if you didn't have that person? Like, would you be as creative as you are? Would you be as relaxed as you are? You know, it's like, it's a commodity. And people forget, like, there's a person behind giving you that comfort. And I feel like for me that is very, very triggering. And it makes me really sad when you see someone in movies. Like, I always wonder, like, oh, what's her story? I feel like whenever I see a character of a maid, and you're right, like, it's never about that person. Like, the only reason why a maid is on film and television is just to affirm the wealth of the main character. And
their story is never talked about.
No, I think the only one, what is the movie? Bajo la misma luna, under the same moon, with the Mexican artist. She was also in telenovelas and she jumped to Hollywood. And she She played La Reina del Sur. Oh my God, her name is completely...
Kate del Castillo.
Kate del Castillo, yes. Thank you. I feel like that was the only time that I watched a movie that it was the story of the maid. And, you know, it is an immigrant story. And I feel like that's why it's also triggering, right? Because it is very close to the immigrant psychic, that specific archetype.
That, and I also thought about something, another movie that's more recently, which is the, is it Roma?
Roma.
Right?
Great
which
movie.
Is, it's you know, talks about the middle, upper middle class in Mexico City families, and then the story of this woman who is a maid and a caretaker and
an indigenous person.
Yes. And then you also see her story, and then how you can love, people can say that they love you, and people can treat you good, I guess. But at the end of the day, you're still a maid. So yeah. you can sit at the table, but we're still going to expect you to clean the dishes.
Right. Like clean the table after we're
yes,
done.
And put us to bed and like all those type of things, you know? So it's just, it talks about also just like, again, I think you just mentioned the, how we don't value that work and that job, but also how it is really easy for us, for folks to just kind of remove yourself from like, feeling anything for this person and saying, oh, but they're just, it's just it's their job, right? That's what they're supposed to do, kind of thing. And not see it as this person is a human being that has a whole other life as well, but you're expecting her to live there, like all these things, and expect her to be part of your life, but again, not part of your life, right? Which is so interesting. And I think of a lot of maids like that, you know, people who support the houseless, like, I expect you to be part of our household because you're cleaning it, you're like maintaining
it. You're raising your kids.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
know your place.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that makes me think of when the pandemic happened, and you know, we all had the privilege of working from home, most of us, and those who didn't. And we were forced to reckon with a layer of the workforce that they're invisible. And I think that's where the maid fits in. You know, and I think
the essential workers
I think now as we move post-pandemic world, there's an awareness of it, but whether we value them or not, I don't think that's changed. I think we still see, you know, we're just going about our days, and I know I'm guilty of it. I'm, you know, interacting with someone at the store, I'm just doing my thing, and I'm, you know, I'm not thinking of, you know, what they have to sacrifice to do those jobs, especially during such a critical moment like COVID.
Yeah. I will say that I think there has been a power dynamic shift because, you know, my family owns a restaurant, and we were part of the essential workers, and like I was working there when like for those who were able to get, you know, compensation, everything, they were like, yes. And then there's some that were like, we want to stay here and that kind of in support. But I think of, like, there's also been a change of, like, power dynamics in terms of, like, oh, you know, we all know we need essential workers.
Right.
We all know we need people who are doing the direct services. Like, we know that now.
Yeah.
There's no, like, oh, no. And there's been a switch of, like, oh, this job is as valued as any other professional who is, you know, in government and in corporate or whatever. It's just as valued. And it's like, how are we going to continue to value that? And the only way we can value that is not only seeing it, but also pay for those jobs, right? To adequately pay for, you know, people's salaries. And I think about, like, there's, and I think now the workforce is like, actually, I do have a say. I do have a say of whether I want to work 7 days a week, whether I want to work more than 8 hours a day. I do have my, like, I have that power now to not just say, oh, I have to kind of stay at this role, at this job, because it's the only one. It's actually, no, are you compensating me? Are you providing health insurance? Are you providing, you know, and it's the things that, like, I'm navigating with, you know, it's just like, because it is, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's like asking for your actual needs, because, like, again, I don't believe that our health system should be tied to only our work.
Right.
But the only places we do see healthcare is usually when you're a professional, right? So it's like, how can we also provide health insurance? Like the very basic needs that anyone needs to live, how do we provide those in all type of levels of jobs?
Mm-hmm. You touch on power dynamics. And I think power dynamics play a very interesting role with the archetype made. Because when you think of the power that this person has, right? Like that's someone that literally has the keys to your house, that knows everything about you, right? That like if someone wanted to do you wrong, the maid always knows, right?
Yeah. She knows all the secrets.
She knows all the dirty secrets and what's hidden under the pillow. I mean, literally. But then even with that knowledge, and like we've seen it, right? Like I think you're right. Like COVID completely unveiled something that I feel like society knew. It was just it was comfortable enough to ignore.
Of course.
And I think now it not only changed the now you see it, now you can't ignore it, but it also gave permission for people to say, hey, this is what I want. This is what I need. And you know, like, I feel like I saw it with my own mom, like after COVID, she was like, no, I didn't like the way they talked to me in this house. I'm not going to go there anymore. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being like, what? Cause you know, she'd be like, oh, well, it made me feel a certain way, but you know, they pay me well. And she'd like brush it off. But after COVID, like she let go of two houses because she was like, no, I don't want you. I don't have the time. And I feel like for me, that was like a very real example of like all the things that you were talking about, right? Like power dynamics completely shifted. But we're definitely not there yet.
Of course, yeah. I think that there's been a shift. I think there's still a long ways to like move towards like actually seeing results and that kind of thing. But I mean, there's a reason why so many businesses didn't have, you know, the workforce for a while, right? Because people were like, actually, I'm going to do my own thing. Or I, you know, I have another passion, or I want to see if I can go back to school or whatever that was. There's a reason, because it's like those dynamics are changing in a way. Yeah. I don't know if they will change. I don't know how much. You know, we're still in a post-pandemic, you know, kind of. Even after 4 years COVID started, we're still very much, you know, businesses, even the workforce, even professionals are still not going into the office, right? They're hybrid or remote. And they have power because the union's also supporting them, right? That kind of thing. So it's like, I feel like that's the shift that we're seeing. And I think instead of fighting and trying to go back to the way it was, I think we need to re-envision and reimagine like what these roles should look like, right? Including the maid, including the service workers, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Definitely the pandemic recalibrated our relationship with the economy. And I think to both of your points, it empowered us because we know we are critical, regardless of, you know, you're an essential worker or you're in the office holding it down. So I think that's we should lean on it as we move forward and creating this, you know, post-COVID economy and world, whatever that looks like, wherever we land, I think we are all gonna take the power that we now have, whether that's, you know, someone who cleans houses or someone who works at a restaurant. I think no one can take that away. We're not going back to the way things used to be, and that's a good thing. And I think we should all lean into that and help shape the future workforce that we wanna envision. Because I think that's going back to the maid. There's a lot of intersections where the maid sits. We talked about race. We talked about, you know, the history. And I think religion is also a key one, right? As we think about the erasure of indigeneity, it was because the Catholic Church wanted to convert, right, to Catholic. So as in whole beliefs. But then you have the economy. And I think the maid, and then you have genders, because most often than not, the maid is a female woman.
Yeah, a lot of our there's roles even within all of like professionals. There's roles, right? Like you have the maid.
Roles.
Yes, you have who's the server. You have who is a nurse. Who is an assistant. more often than not, we see, you know, that being a woman, woman of color, to be specific, right. You know? Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, there is that dynamic, but I agree with Galerin. It's like, we do need to lean into it instead of wanting to go back to what it was before, because clearly before wasn't working.
Exactly.
So there's a reason, you know, so it's like, there's a reason why we're seeing this shift.
I think going on that gender role specifically, because it's right, like, how many male maids do you know?
I know none.
Right? Salud.
Bless you.
Se me fue.
Sorry, we did that. That was us.
All right, well, I'll go back to it. 3, 2, 1. Going back to that mention of gender roles, because you're both touching on that. I feel like that in alignment with the maid archetype, I feel like there's such a red flag for me and such a danger. Because when you're walking into spaces of power, spaces where you're supposed to be the person in charge, and then this image has been ingrained and embedded into people's brains, there's the expectation of, oh, well, you can get us coffee, right? Or like, oh, you can be the person that sets up the room or like books up the meeting. And I think you were talking about that assistant, right? And I feel like there's a direct thread of this image has been out there for so long. Because I think the maid archetype is also one of the older stereotypes that has been in film and television. And it goes back to putting Latinas in a place of service. Yeah. Which I'm not saying, there's a lot of pride in service.
100%.
And that there is, you know, I don't want to take that away. But when it's not by choice, mm-hmm. and it's expected, I feel like that's when it becomes problematic. And I'm just curious, like, if you've encountered that expectation in the spaces that you move.
Yes. I think as, you know, a female, as someone who's typically the youngest person in the room, mm-hmm. You know, I think also when I tell people that I was born in Mexico, like, they automatically put me in this, like, immigrant corner, which is, again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. But I think that also shapes the way they engage with me. Mm. So, you know, I started really my career when I was like 22 or something in City Hall.
You're a baby.
I was, 100%. And I was willing to do the work. Like, I, you know, I think at the beginning, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to master it. And if I need to clean the dishes, I will do that. That's fine. There's no problem with that. But I think that when I started to do that, in many ways, it also cornered me into that. Mm. So then I had to be, again, teaching people how to treat me. I had to put my foot down and empower other people to clean after themselves. You know, really making that conscious decision of what I was going to do and what I wasn't going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and that doesn't mean that I stopped cleaning dishes. Like, I still would set up the meeting, you know, for the mayor or for whatever stakeholders. And I would clean afterwards because it was my meeting. I was responsible for it. No problem. But when it wasn't my responsibility, it was clear. I am not. That's your job. You have two hands and two feet, and you can take care of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you mentioned a word, empower. And I'm like, nah, let's call it out. Like, this is bullshit. I'm not here to clean after you. Like,
I'm not.
We're not doing this. Like, this. And again, it plays into that stereotype of, like, we're maids. We're here to clean after someone else, or we're here to assist someone else to be great. And it's like, no. Why do we continue? And like, unfortunately, you fall into that sometimes because you're like, oh, no one else is gonna do it.
Right.
And also, it's the guilt trip. It's like how we were raised. It's all these like soap operas and novellas that we grew up with.
I struggle with
our parents. You know, it's just like it's a whole thing, right? It's just like, you know, you go into like even more, right? Religion and all of these things that we're here to serve, right? We're here to serve this man or this whatever, and it's like, and we get ourselves are in those spaces and we're like, wait, what am I doing?
Right.
You know, again, it's not that it's like, oh, it's bad to clean dishes or it's bad to assist someone, again, it's more of like, well, am I playing into a role that people already think I am? Mm-hmm, you know? Right. And it's like, and again, we go back to that. I am also more than that. I can do that, but so can that person and that person and that person. Everyone can clean their dish. Everyone can assist. Everyone can book a meeting. You know, right. It shouldn't have to be just unless you're hired for that specific thing. Exactly. Unless it is for that specific thing, then it's like, you know, then I think of like, then that should be someone that's younger than maybe barely getting their, you know, foot in the door or some, but not someone that has, you know, the skills or the want to grow and create another career for themselves or continue growing up the ladder, you know, that kind of thing.
It's a very fine line to walk. I think when I hear both of you talking about putting your foot down, one, it makes me very proud, very excited. And I'm taking mental notes. I'm very bad at this. And I feel like part of it is, you know, when you have a background of like, okay, I've cleaned houses. I've been that person that has to, literally their job is to clean. But also, you know, I was in the service industry. I was a waiter for a really long time, like sitting at buffets and all these things. So I feel like for me, it's almost like habit, right? It's like, oh, there's something dirty. Like, let me just wipe it out. But like, I catch myself kind of immediately going towards it. Oh, let me help pick up. And then seeing people get up and just walk out the door.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's...
It's taking me back.
That's when I had to force myself to stay... Like,
the privilege.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Where seeing that people... It didn't even cross their mind to say, oh, I should have picked up my glass.
Yeah. Right.
I should have picked up my... Right. My... Whatever it is that they 100%. Use. Or even the courtesy of, oh... This is a lot of a mess and one person is going to clean.
Let me help out. Let me
give them a hand, yeah. Right? I feel like for me, that's the shock of it. Like seeing the lack of intention from other people in the room to say, let me lend that hand.
And I think that when we put our foot down, we remove the stigma of cleaning. Like cleaning, everyone should be cleaning. Cleaning
why
is important.
Why is it somebody's
right. Like,
job?
Everyone should hygiene. Yes. Don't you clean at your house? Don't you clean yourself? Like, who washes you?
Some people don't.
I'm like, who washes you? Like, right. Just like you have to wash your hands. Just like you have to take a shower. You have to clean your clothes. You should clean after yourself.
It's just this, yeah.
So I think that with us teaching people or letting people know that I'm not doing that, it removes the stigma. Because that's what we have to do. We have to, it's okay, you know, back to the essential workers, like, they're critical. So we have to remove that stigma that has been perpetuated for centuries.
Yes. And also, I do want to emphasize that that is also hella overwhelming. And that's also not okay to us, for us to be educating someone else on how to.
Like, I get tired.
Like, that is also not okay. Like, I shouldn't be the one calling out things all the time. I shouldn't be all the, it's just also that. It's like, it also is not okay that I have to do this because no one else is thinking about these things, you know? It's like, and no one else is putting effort or energy into this because, you know, some people are definitely more privileged than others. And like, we're going to see this regardless whether it's in our personal lives or we're going to see this in like our careers and like places that we work in, and like people have different, there's different privileges, and people also have their own unconscious bias and their own like beliefs and stuff that play into the role that they're in, and that's just the reality of things, right? But again, I think it's more of like no, and that's it. And an answer could be no.
Yeah,
that's an answer. And not having to over-explain yourself why you don't want to clean that table, why you don't want to do X, Y, and things. It should be no. Just like
I feel like I want you to say that again. No. That's it. No.
No, and period, right? Like, that's it. Like, that's an answer. And so I think those type of things is like, and it's okay. And if people see you as being mean or rude or disrespectful, unprofessional, it's like, that's your belief. And that's because you're used to seeing people who look like me go above and beyond to make you feel comfortable. Again, this is for you to feel comfortable.
Right.
Like, no. What about us as individuals. How am I, this is not making me feel comfortable, right? And I think it touches on that. It's like, there's nothing wrong with being, doing service work. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Like, but it should be a choice. And if that's something you don't want to do, then you just don't do it. And that's it. You don't want to apply to that job that has to do with service, right? That kind of thing. Or like, you just don't do it. And so I think it should be the choice.
And can I just say one thing? I think you're talking, what you're saying, what I'm hearing is like the burden that's always on us 100%. As Latinas. Because we have, again, we sit at all this intersectionality of gender, of race, of culture, of like colonization, religion,
immigration.
So there's like all these things, all these pressure points that are put on us just by the nature of our identity that we have to, you know, dig ourselves
navigate.
Out and navigate and educate, for lack of a better word. Like, even though it's not, we should, it's not, it shouldn't be our responsibility. I find that I have to, because if not, you know, like, if I don't put my foot down, they're just going to keep treating me and putting me in this corner. Yeah. And then I have to show people how to treat me.
I love everything that both of you.
Oh, it's happening.
It's happening. I love that. It's going to be great for the people who won't see what's happening. Carolyn, have her hands up. We've had enough. No, that's it. Well, I think with that, I think we're going to close there. And I'm just going to ask you, what's the word that comes to mind after this conversation? I think for me, just to give you some time to reflect and think about it, is hope. I feel like there was a lot of mention on things changing and not going back, and people really seeing the power and the value that they bring into the work they do. So the word hope is what comes to mind for me.
For me, power. I think back to the conversation of the role that maids play in the economy. They're critical components of the economy, of our economy. So with the pandemic and everything that happened, we have this new power that, frankly, we've always had, but we maybe weren't ever aware that we had it. Players in the economy, and that's what I think the maid is. The maid is a key player in that, and I think as we move forward, we need to have that at the top of mind and lead with our power, within the economy.
Mm-hmm. I love that. What about you, Maida?
I mean, I really appreciate both of you, the words, and I was thinking of empower, you know, empowerment. But I think I want to finish with a phrase. It's like, and it's a very, you know, I am very practical. I can be very practical. So it's like, no is an answer. That no is just an answer. And it's okay to not want to do certain things, whether it's your personal, whether it's your, you know, career, whether it's your work, you know, that kind of thing. It's okay to say no. No, we don't always have to be there to serve someone else, you know, and it's okay to say no, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to continue this, and that's it.
I think that's the last word.